I'm grateful. We got air conditioning Wednesday night. I am so grateful. I grew up in South Florida. We didn't have air conditioning, not in our houses, not in our schools, not in our cars. But I kind of gotten used to it. I am so grateful we have air conditioning. If I was to give any advice to Christy and James, especially if you have more children, it would be prepared to hear this phrase. That's not fair. I'm just letting you know, okay? You're going to hear that phrase a lot. That's not fair. How many oldest children do we have here? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Right? Youngest one comes along, gets all these privileges. We had to work. That's not fair. Marlena, that's not fair. Marlena, I go, I was learning with you. It's not fair. Y'all seen the sign? It says, Dear Life, I understand you're not fair. Please stop repeating the lesson. We get it, don't we? We get it. There was an unfortunate sign that I saw too, that said, I've forgotten it. It made me uncomfortable. It said, I'm all for giving Muslims the same rights in our country that they give Christians in theirs. I'm all for giving Muslims the same rights in our country that they give Christians in theirs. I mean, I get it. Until they become like us, we're going to be like them. How's that going to work? How do we ever grow? How is grace ever extended? And yet, I have to say, I think fairness is important, I have to say, all right? We all have our prejudices, all right? It may not be based on race, it may not be based on gender, but we all have our biases, we all have our prejudice. Sometimes it's based on other things. Sometimes it's based on someone's mental capacity. Sometimes it's based on physical appearance. Way back in the day when the Christian Church Disciples of Christ was first coming into formation, Alexander Campbell was one of the driving forces, and he strongly believe it or not, it's so ironic with me telling you this, but he believed in an educated clergy. I don't know. Fortunately, I wasn't around back then, but he established all these colleges and universities and seminaries, and he said, if you're going to be a clergy, you have to go through all, you have to go to where the school is, you got to go through all this process. And so then the candidates would graduate, and then he would ship them off to churches. And so there was this one candidate, he really, this guy preached, he knew the Bible, everything, he was like the top of the class, and Alexander Campbell sent the candidate to the church with his highest recommendations. And the candidate came back with a letter from the Board of Elders. Back then it was the Board of Elders. And the Board of Elders said, clearly he can preach. Clearly he knows the Bible. Clearly he is warm and personable, but we will have no man that parts his hair down the middle. There you go. Whoops, wait a minute. We have our biases, we have our prejudices, we think things should be a certain way, we want them to be fair. I mean, ultimately, we want things to be fair. We think everybody should be treated fairly, we want to be treated fairly. I want myself to be treated fairly, I want my family to be treated fairly, I want those I love to be, I want everyone to be treated fairly. No one should be treated differently because of anything, the way they part their hair or the clothes they wear or anything else. But, according to this parable, that's not the way it works, which is why it's not my favorite parable. I'm just letting you know right now, all right? I don't like this parable. I get it that it's in the Bible, but this is not my favorite parable at all. If I was writing a parable, I would write it a little bit differently. I have a hard time. No wonder people are laughing. Have you noticed that it depends where you are in the line, whether you're laughing or grumbling? All right? I mean, if you're the 5 o'clock worker, you're thinking, oh, yeah, life is good. Uh-huh, you're doing the little happy dance and everything. But if you showed up at 6 in the morning and worked all day long, ain't a whole lot of joy in your life, is there? Even though the wage is fair, the circumstances don't seem to be. We forget sometimes that if we were going to be saved, if we were going to be saved by bookkeeping and law keeping, we would have been saved by Moses and not by Jesus. We're saved by God's grace. This is not a parable about economic justice. This is not a parable about proper business practices any more than the parable of the prodigal son is a parable about proper parenting. This is a parable about grace, about God's grace. And it can be difficult. And why? We were talking about this in the Bible study. Why pay the workers in the reverse order? I mean, isn't that like rubbing salt in the wound to make the ones who worked all day long, now they have to wait even longer, and then they see what's taking place, and you can just see that's going to do nothing but cause problems. That's just going to sow seeds of bitterness and resentment and envy. That's not fair. I worked hard. I worked 12 hours. I did way longer hard work, which is, this is not fair. It's not right. And it's not. It's not. But it is, ultimately, God's kingdom. It is about God's grace. It doesn't matter how long you work in the vineyard. It doesn't matter what your job was. That's where it's sometimes so difficult for us to be able to come into to this parable. Did you know that there are people who don't want to go into the kingdom of heaven? Do you remember that? Right before this one, in chapter 19. Remember the rich man? The rich man, and he's not like filthy rich. He's been obedient rich. He's been obeying all the commandments. Remember that? He's rich and he's obedient. And he comes before Jesus and he says, what more can I do? What must I do? And remember how that works out. Remember that? And Jesus says, well, there's only one thing you lack. Remember that? Sell everything you have, give it to the poor. And the rich man goes away sorrowful because he can't. And Jesus says how hard it is for those who trust in riches to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. And see, we can nod our heads because ain't nobody here rich, are we? See, that's the way it is with those rich people, all right? We're in the middle of the line. That's why they call us the middle class, okay? We're in the middle part of the line. That's how it is. But now this parable comes along, and it's almost as if Jesus was saying how hard it is for those who trust in their hard work and long hours to get into the kingdom of heaven. See, we believe in grace, and yet there's that other part of us. I was sharing this. I used Kent as an example. Let's imagine, okay, that they decide that they're not going to go to Orlando, okay, that they're going to stay here forever and ever and ever and ever, all right? And so they're going to stay. Yeah, I threw them under the bus, and now I'm throwing them under the bus again. All right, so they decide they're going to buy a house in Del Rey, okay? And so they buy this beautiful house. It's a great house, great location, and they're faithful about making the house payments, all right? Every house payment, they make the payment, all right? And it's expensive. Some of us have had mortgage. We know what that's like. You got to make a house. That means they don't get to do the Disney vacations. They don't get the cable TV. They don't get to do all the things that other people are getting to do, but they are making the house payment every single month. Or imagine yourself, you're making that house payment every single month. The 30th year, the last month, you're coming into the bank because you have to sign up. You are making the final payment on the house you've been paying for 30 years. So faithful. And the president of the bank opens the door and says, the bank has decided to forgive all mortgages. And there's a couple that just made the first payment. Their whole house paid. How happy are you? Happy feeling gone, isn't it? Isn't it just kind of like dimming the joy just a little bit? Yes, your house is paid for, but... All right? Or you imagine you growing up in a family, all right? And you're the only boy, and you got to do all the yard work, and you got to do all the fix-it chores, and this and that, and all that. And you're 23, graduating from college, expecting to inherit the family business, expecting all that, and your parents decided to adopt somebody from Thailand. And they say, we've decided that we're going to split the business two ways between you and... You're like... He doesn't even know the language yet. He never even mowed the lawn. It's an equal share? How is that? It's hard. This parable sometimes can bump up against life and hit us in an uncomfortable spot. It can be so difficult sometimes to be able to be honest. Because honestly, the thing about this parable is I'm always putting myself at the 6 o'clock workers. I'm the person that was there at the marketplace before anybody else was. I'm the one that works the hardest, the longest, does the dirtiest, nasty job. That's the way I am. I have a work ethic that is unbelievable. It's on steroids. The only thing I'm on steroids. That's where I put myself in the parable. But if I was to really be honest and look at my life, the fact of the matter is, I'm the most privileged. I'm the most privileged. Regardless of what you may think of our president, I live in the best country on the planet. I'm not in Somalia. I'm not in North Korea. I am in the United States of America, where I have more opportunities presented to me than almost anybody else. I didn't deserve it. Just that's where I happened to be born. That's where mom and dad, boom, but here I am. I am privileged. I have 7 years of higher education. Believe it or not, I have the diplomas in there to prove it. Now, I didn't always like going through all that. I have an education. Do you know how many people would love to have had the opportunity to just be able to graduate from high school, let alone go on to college, go on to graduate school, go on to seminary, do all of that? I am so, so privileged. I am white. Yeah, let it sink in. I'm just letting you know. Well, ever since that movie, Equalizer, came out, people get me confused with Denzel Washington. It's embarrassing. Now, I know there's a resemblance. I know. You see me with my T-shirt on. You can see the resemblance there. See me fighting a lion or something. I'm male. That automatically opens up doors before. I was standing in the Bible study. I'm not even aware that there are doors that have been closed and shut on other people. I am privileged. I've never had to worry about security, about shelter, about food. I've got air conditioning now. I am so, so privileged. We hear this parable and we keep thinking of ourselves as being the ones who've been treated unfairly, when the fact of the matter is we have been treated wonderfully, graciously, beyond all deserving. I love Norma Ann's take in the study today. She was saying, all right, so we're thinking about in terms of the kingdom of heaven. And we're thinking in terms, okay, that maybe we've been a Christian, and we've been a Christian all of our lives, and we've been obedient all of our lives, but now we have a family member or a loved one or a very, very close friend, and they've not been walking with the Lord. They've not received God's grace the way we have. And then, at the very, very end, on their deathbed, they make that confession. They receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do we not rejoice? Are we going to grumble about that? Or are we going to do a happy dance in the hallway? We are so thrilled. We are so happy. This is a parable meant to help us understand that the kingdom of heaven is meant for all people. And that each of us have an opportunity, wherever we come into the kingdom, to be able to rejoice and celebrate every time someone else is invited in. We have an opportunity to rejoice instead of grumble. Because this is a parable not about justice, but about grace. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us get into heaven without it. Amen.